What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
That's what's for dinner, man.
Yeah. Is that you doing that song?
That was T-Pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Co-written Flip Schultz T-Pain
collabo.
Podcast for the collabo podcast.
Yeah, I did that on a little one of those little iPhone apps.
Oh yeah, I have that.
I'm giving away the secret to the theme show, everybody. But I think they could figure it out.
Yeah, if they have the T-Pain audience. App, yeah,
they can Google that stuff.
That's totally, right. Totally Googleable.
How do I T-Pain? Boom.
There we go. I need to sound like him. I need to sound auto-tuned. That's part of.
I have the effect to do that now if you want.
I know. I think that's what we were doing before.
Yes, except for whatever. Hey, we're sitting here in the Living Room of the Sass studio this week with a good buddy, funny comic, Brian Monarch is here, everybody.
Woo! I'm here.
You're here, man.
That's the crowd going wild.
Oh, is that the crowd?
I don't know.
I thought you were
that.
Spitting.
Yeah, I'm like hawking a loogie.
I
like,
brought
welcome.
A lot of fans with me. Huge crowds of fans
Huge
are here.
Huge crowd.
He brought his posse.
And I brought my
Pousse. As he points to me, just so that our listeners know what's physically happening in the room.
So I guess we can curse.
Yes.
That was
oh, yeah.
My next question.
Oh,
there we go.
Fuck, no. Shit, bitch. I could even cunt it up if you want. I mean,
cunt it out, honey.
Yeah. Oh, look at you with your Dave Coulier
pretty
reference.
Funny.
Cunt it. You have no idea. I'm like, I don't know why puns come so easily to me. And not only that, why I choose to constantly say them. Even in my head, I'm like, this isn't funny.
My dad loves puns. Like, that is his favorite. And it's the corniest thing that you can possibly conjure up is a pun. But
yeah,
they work.
Yeah, well,
they
you're
do.
Not, you're not a punny comic. You're not kind of a shticky comic.
No,
you're more
no.
of the other side of comedy, right?
I guess so.
The kind of the more grittier,
he's the
darker.
Thoughtful.
You're more the Chris Nolan than the Joel Schumacher of comedy.
I'll take that.
I like that. The Chris. Yeah. He's not campy. He's not throwing shit out there.
No.
But he's thoughtful, and he's fucking...
Once in a while, I hit a watermelon with a hammer, but that's as far as I'll go.
Nobody's doing that anymore.
I know.
Man.
You should bring it back, man.
Totally. You're like the Gallagher of a new generation.
I think the Gallagher 2 guy tried to bring it back, but...
Is there
we
a
saw
Gallagher
what happened
2
with
guy?
Him. Did you hear about that?
No. I know Gallagher's been having heart attacks like every other month, like the real Gallagher.
Well, his heart keeps getting hit with the proverbial hammer.
Is that what's happening?
No, he actually, he has a brother named Ron, who looks identical to him. I don't think they're twins, but they look identical. And he
very
basically
close.
Sold him his old act, and the guy went on tour as Gallagher 2, the living sequel. And then they got into a lawsuit because Gallagher 2 was doing more jokes at Gallagher, like the newer jokes that Gallagher never sold him.
Right.
So he actually had to take his brother to court.
Huh. And I think Gallagher has actually done some real shows. The real Gallagher has done some shows recently.
I'm sure he has. I mean, he's still out there. I actually met him at a college, like a NACA thing, like a college. And for those of us listening, it's like a showcase where comedians and other variety acts audition for a bunch of colleges all at once. And the actual Gallagher was there, and he was kind of a dick.
Huh. It's weird to think, like, someone would sell you their material, and then they say, and you can't do any additional material. Like, this is your 30 minutes that you can do. Don't say another word. Like, that's just, like, a weird little...
Well, it's, I mean...
It's just strange in general that he would, you know, allow his brother, a lookalike, to do the exact same thing. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
It's well, like doing a...
But it's kind of like selling somebody your old furniture, you know, but... You don't have, like, it's like selling somebody an old car, but then they try to drive your new car.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, the idea of selling material in itself is kind of weird.
Like, how do you get, like, I understand the only time when I think it ever worked is with Andy Kaufman and Bob Zmuda as Tony Clifton, because that was supposed to be a trick. It was supposed to be like, are they, aren't they? But having two Gallaghers in the world doing Gallagher, like, that's just weird. It's like, how would a person know if they went to the show who would be who, honestly? If they just took off the two.
Because he can't be listed as Gallagher. He's listed as either Ron Gallagher or Gallagher 2.
But what I'm saying is like, couldn't that just happen? Like, couldn't he just go anywhere and, like, be like, I'm Gallagher? And then people like,
he
oh,
probably,
Gallagher!
To be honest, I'm sure he did, which probably had to do with the lawsuit as well.
Oh yeah, there's stuff you can get away with, but you'll get caught eventually. There's this, like, even when I deal with, like, bigger headliners, they're like, well, we're not supposed to put, you know, our name on the thing, because if the agent doesn't know about it, they're not going to get it paid. And, like, I did a show with Margaret Cho, for instance, and she was like, just, you can't put me online. We have rules. You can't put me on any advertising except for online 2 days before the show.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's her thing. But I've seen people put her on before 2 days, and I just know, like, if somebody saw it, they'd get in trouble. But, you know, I always abide by the rules when I...
Is that the show at Sardos?
No, she didn't do Sardos. Sardos is over.
It's over?
Yeah, last week was the last show.
Oh.
Yeah. This was the first Wednesday. Yesterday was the first Wednesday that was comedy-less for over 2 years.
What happened? For the side note, Brian Warnark is a producer, not only just a comic, but also a producer, and he... I guess for 2 years, had produced a show at this bar right here in Burbank called Sardo's. It's a karaoke bar. And so Alice and I had just recently done it, probably within the last month and a half.
Yeah, you were two of the last ones.
Oh, so okay.
It's an honor to be on the farewell month.
Yes.
Well, what happened, man?
It was he wanted to make sure there was people there. Basically, he wanted me to make sure the comics were promoting. And I have a lot of other shows. Like, I have the Belly Room every Friday. That just came on, like, in the last, like, 8 or 9 months. So doing both weekly shows is just too much. And I've got my friend Marilyn to help me book Sardo's. I was booking the headliner. She was booking all the other comics. And she got sick of it. And she was doing the flyers, the booking. And I was just like, I'm not going back to doing that. So we just kind of did it the last couple weeks, and that was it.
So it's kind of a burnout thing.
Yeah. I mean, if the owner was like, yeah, bring in your favorite comics every week, you know, make a good show, you know, I'd be fine with that. But then there'd be nobody there and he'd be pissed. And it was just, you know, it was a catch-22. It was either do a bringer show and, you know, waste all that on a bar show or, you know, do
use it for
that's
the comedy.
That's what the problem with Los Angeles is that once you have any sort of, like, even... a small bit of years underneath your belt, you've wasted your friend list. They're not going to keep coming and seeing you in the same material. Maybe, you know, you add a few new jokes here and there, but they're not going to keep coming.
I think there are certain people that kind of gave up, yet they still could do it. Like,
up producing or
no, give up trying to get people out to shows.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is you get into this, you know, thing where you're doing it every week, every other week, and like eventually it's impossible. It is. Yeah. It's just like, dude, we've seen this. We've seen everything.
We love you, but we can't keep spending $30 bucks a night to see you. Yeah.
But if you were to wait 3 months, and that's when they give up and they're like, I'm not a bringer comic anymore. And I get that. I don't think I'm very good at that. And I hate the system in LA. But if you waited like 3 months and then you're like made a big event on Facebook and said, this is a big show. And, you know, you made sure it was a good show that your friends were coming to. Then I think you could still do it. I think a lot of people just give up, though. And I feel like, you know, if I had to do it, I could do it. And I've been doing it a long time, too. I mean, I can get people out if I had to.
Every now and again, I can still pull out a good little group.
See, I think my problem is all of my friends out here are comics.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, hey, I'm doing this big show. And they're like, so are we.
Yeah.
Just for anybody out there, like, that's listening that's not a comic, a bringer show would mean a comic that brings pretty much the audience. Like, they're not expecting necessarily the audience to be walk-ins or anything like that. So it would be up to the comics to bring their own friends.
Which is most of the shows in L.A.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you're of the Louis C.K. kind of level where you're going to be getting people in no matter what.
Yeah. Once you get to that level, then you just put your name on the billboard and it sells out anyways.
Yeah.
It's such a it's really an oversaturated business at this point.
It's an oversaturated city. I mean, there's a show on every corner. That's why the bringer element is so popular, because somebody, let's just say somebody's like, let's go to a comedy show tonight. They look in the paper or online, there's the Improv, Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, and then there's like 50 bars all have 8 p.m. shows. Like, how are they going to pick which one? They pick the one with the best comics. You know, so when you're running a show in the Belly Room at 8, nobody's going to buy tickets to that because there's a million other shows with, you know, so you got to, you know.
Yeah, and not even comedy shows. It's all Los Angeles in general shows, dancing and this and that.
Yeah,
and
there's so much stuff to do.
Yeah.
I would say that you doing a show at the Belly Room, you do have a little bit of an advantage of guys that are doing shows at like little bars or something.
Yeah, totally.
You're at least associated with a well-known club.
Yeah. The one thing about the Comedy Store is they have two other shows that are bigger going on at the same time. So when somebody just goes to their calendar and they see you know, Brian's show at 8 in the belly room, or Chris D'Elia and Whitney Cummings in the main room, or Bobby Lee and Dov Davidoff in the original room, like, they don't usually buy tickets to the belly room. It's just, it's hard, you know? So, you know, I do what I can.
Yeah, well, that's why I've decided to go into welding.
Perfect.
I'm going to become a welder now.
Bring your own welder?
I'm going to, but it's going to be a bringer show for my welding. I got my own acetylene torch.
Bring people with parts. Bring your own parts. Bring your own tools.
So where'd you get started, man, doing comedy?
The first time I ever did comedy, I just saw people doing it. I went to some open mics to see what
was
it was like.
In L.A.?
Yeah. I've lived in L.A. my whole life.
Okay.
Oh, lucky.
And yeah, and I guess so. And I was like watching these guys, and me and my friend Steve, we would go to these open mics, and I'd be like, let's check them out. I want to see if I can, you know, I want to do this or not. And a lot of them weren't very well good, you know. It was like these little open mics, and I was like, I could be funnier than them. And, you know, that, and I started thinking to myself, I got to try it. And then I read this book, like everyone does at the beginning, like one of those comedy Bibles. Or
you Judy
know,
Carter.
It was the Judy Carter book. And it says, don't go to a comedy club, go to a coffee house the first time. And I was like, going to all these coffee houses and watching, and nobody's listening, no one was laughing. I'm like, I want to go somewhere where I can possibly get a laugh.
Yeah.
So I signed up at the Laugh Factory the first time I ever did it. I stayed out there all day, you know, Tuesday from, like, you know, early in the morning until 8 at night when it started.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did it, and it was terrible. So bad.
How long ago was that?
But it made me want to keep going, the fact that it was so bad. It was in 1998.
Oh, okay.
And the only reason I know, and I stopped for a while, I haven't been doing it that long, but the only reason I know that is because one of my jokes was about Godzilla with Matthew Broderick.
Oh.
And it was out around that time. And one time I was curious, when did I start comedy? And I looked up that movie, and I'm like, okay, around 98.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah.
But it has something to do with the Taco Bell dog. Yeah, lizard, lizard, lizard.
Oh, no, it was so stupid. The first joke I ever said on stage, which I don't even want to talk about, but I'll do it just
Come
for
on,
you
do
guys.
It.
Yay, do it.
I was... watching all, I was, you know, you drive through Hollywood, and the advertising campaign for Godzilla was, there was a big thing on the bus, and it would just say, his tail is longer than this bus.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then you'd look up at a billboard, his claws are larger than this billboard. And then, you know, everywhere you looked, it was saying comparisons to Godzilla's size. So, and I was going to all these open mics, and I didn't hit when that was big. You know, the advertising was gone, but I wasn't smart enough to think that people wouldn't remember. So I get on stage at the Laugh Factory. First thing I ever said on a comedy stage was, so, you guys, you might not know this, but his dick is bigger than this stage. And just heard cars driving down Sunset, and that was the start of the blossoming of my
Jesus
career.
Or Jamie Masada?
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, it's dick.
And then I went on to talk about how I need to read when I poop, and that got a chuckle, and that was about it. I still have the MP3. I haven't listened to it for probably a decade because it just makes me cringe.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I have my very first time on stage when I was 18. I have it on video.
Yeah.
And oh, please tell him what you did. Please tell him the opening that you did.
Yeah, I could beat your opening for worst line of the night.
Well, that I'm interested in hearing.
I get on stage, an 18-year-old kid, and I have like a little dish towel, and I place it on the stage, and I stand on it. And this is in a bar. It's in this little shit bar, and the audience in front of me is my family. My parents, my little brother, my grandmother, some aunts, uncles, cousins. And then there's a bar over in the distance with just some drunks. And I stand on the towel, and I point to the guy at the bar, and I just start going, you're such an asshole. You never listen to me. I do everything for you. You never do anything for me. I hate you.
Complete stranger to the guy.
Yeah. Okay. And then I go, I'm sorry. I'm on the rag today.
It's pretty good, actually. I think that's better than Godzilla's dick. Well, 6 months after the movie comes out.
I like it. It's funny. I mean, if that, honestly, if there was anybody in the crowd that, you know, lived in Los Angeles. That's what you get when you go to the Laugh Factory. It's not a lot of people live in Los Angeles. It's like the tourist area.
Yeah, but no, they had those advertisements in Florida, too. I remember seeing them. Because
really?
I didn't come out here till 01.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
so you
I like the
didn't
joke.
Look at buses, honey.
I never.
I just remember thinking, I'm thinking now, just like my 21 or 20, I don't know how old I was back then, but I was just like thinking to myself, I look back and I think, that guy had no clue what it was like to look through anyone else's eyes. Like, he thought everyone knows what he knows.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just like there was no open, you know, view of what reality was, I feel like. And
well, I think when you get to a certain point, like that's, I usually judge any idea that I have that has to do with pop culture or anything,
mm-hmm.
based on if I understand it, because I think I've been around enough and I've seen enough that I'm like, okay, if like, say, like I do this bit now, this new bit about quantum physics, and it's complicated, but I'm like, okay, if I'm saying it and I understand what I'm saying, I think the audience will get it.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. You need to have some kind of world experience to present an idea.
Yeah.
That everyone will fully grasp.
Yeah, that's why you do all these little shows and see what works and pull the stuff out that doesn't, because then you realize general public doesn't get what we think is funny sometimes.
And they are coming out with a new Godzilla movie, so maybe you can dust that off.
Yeah, maybe they'll bring back the advertising campaign. They won't remember that whole thing in 98. Let's do that whole his tail is bigger than his bust thing.
Maybe if you figure out a way where, even if they don't do that advertisement, to just, you know, bring it up since it is Godzilla and they've had so many Godzilla movies and this is how they used to advertise it and, you know, what the fuck, and then like somehow related to that, you know.
Right. Maybe.
I don't know. I think it's a funny idea.
You'd be like those guys that pull out old Clinton jokes because like a blowjob scandal app. Like I would see comics like probably through like halfway through Bush's second term, like go like, hey, fucking George W. Bush, what a prick. I'll tell you, my president was Clinton. Remember when that happened? And da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, seriously? You're doing Clinton jokes in 2007? 2006?
Yeah, I still see Clinton jokes once in a while.
No, really?
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, not like modern day, like he did something last week that they're talking about. I mean, like, he got a blowjob in the Oval Office when he was president, Clinton jokes.
I feel like I've heard a couple. I really do. I see a lot of comedy. You know, when you're running the show, you have to watch all, you know, not that you don't want to, but you have to watch all the comics. And they come up with all sorts of stuff. And I feel like just recently I heard something about that. Just like, he's like, they compare him to being a black guy or something.
Yeah,
I feel like I just heard this.
Heard that.
We've had black comic. We've had a black president before Obama. Clinton. And then they start talking about the
reason. He fucked
a
fat white girl.
Yeah.
And,
I feel like I just heard that. But anyways.
I had some really good Clinton material. I really did. I was proud of my Clinton material.
You should just throw a show where everybody does their oldest material.
Well, I told you what I wanted to do. Like, I've had this idea for a while, and I don't know why I haven't done it. Just like, gather up maybe, you know, 10, 12 comics. We meet at somebody's place, and everybody brings their earliest video of them doing comedy. And then you put it in a box, and, you know, we have drinks, we have weed, we have whatever. Make it a party, and then after everybody's thoroughly soused, we reach into the box, randomly pick a disc or tape, put it in, and just laugh at how bad we all were.
It's like a roast. It's almost like a roast indirectly.
It is kind of like a roast, yeah. But I think it's fun. Like, I mean, Allison's seen me try to watch my old videos. It's so difficult. But
it is so hard.
Yeah. It's like essentially watching you walk for the first time, you know, comedically.
I have the MP3s of my first three Laugh Factory stints. They were all the 3-minute open mics. That's all I wanted to try. And I haven't listened to them in so many years. And I don't want to double click on those files. Like, I just do not want to hear them. It's just that, like,
How long did you do comedy before? You say you stopped for a little while. So what was kind of from like the start?
Then I started doing like these showcases on Sundays with Dave McNeary at the Ice House in the Little Room, Ice House Stage 2.
The Annex, yeah.
Yeah, the Annex. They changed it to Stage 2 now.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways, and then I stopped
for a
while.
It sounds like some sort of like cancer or something. It's like Stage 2. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ice House, wow. It's in Stage 2. I'm sorry, that was my random brain going. Please continue.
I had a random thought yesterday. I needed to get some cat food, and I went to Petco Express. No, what was it called? Is it called Express?
What is that for?
There's like
food?
A new... anyways, it sounded like... the name of the place sounded like a Vegas show. It was just like Express at Petco or something like that. It was just like, you just come up with these stupid ideas in your head.
Mandalay Bay proudly presents Express at Petco.
Now I gotta look it up.
Cirque du Soleil presents the Pet Commissaire. Pet Co-op.
No, I was gonna say, like, you gotta think of like one of those. Pet Covalia. Bam.
Pet Covalia.
Bam.
Allison's giving herself a high five right now, everybody.
I got it. It's called Petco Unleashed.
Petco.
I think that's a
Petco
Byron Allen
Unleashed.
That's a Byron Allen sponsored store.
Nice. Oh,
yeah, it's like a little teeny Petco. And I was just thinking, like, when I saw the sign, I'm like, this sounds like something you'd see in Vegas, like one of those, you know, Cirque du Soleil shows. Yeah. Petco Unleashed.
Yes, they are now officially not on wires.
It would start out with a story. Wait, hold on. Let's see if I can do this really. really...
Are you going to play with the...
We're doing sound effects on the fly.
I'm going to try to do sound effects. All right.
It's official.
Bonjour, everybody.
It didn't work.
God damn it, it didn't work. Bonjour, everybody.
There it is.
Many years ago, the pets were roaming the streets of Paris with no place to go. They were all wandering and wandering until one day they... All right, this is going nowhere.
Yeah, I was like, are we... please tell me that we're going to finish
there,
the intro.
There was nothing.
And now we bring you Petco Unleashed.
I should have passed it on to you, man.
Yeah,
and
it would
just be
that.
Like a cat flying through the air. Like a random cat flying through the air, like a dog. And then they like grab each other in trapeze.
Wait, hold on. Okay. When I cue you, Brian, you say it.
And now we are proud to bring you Petco Unleashed.
Oh ho!
Trying to make the music. I don't know.
What was that, honey?
I don't know. I was trying to like purr almost, but then make music. I don't know.
That sounded like a festive vibrator.
You can hear Allison's latest purr song at dirtyguitargirl.com.
Exactly.
It'll be called Petco Unleashed, and it'll be about my vagina. Again.
Everything's
course,
about your vagina.
Of course. Right?
Of course.
Oh,
so you took some. So 98, you did your first open mic, and then when? So are you? And I assume comedy is like your full time gig now, right?
No, I have a job. I have a part time job Monday through Thursday.
And what's that?
I work at a real estate company. I work as their tech guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
6 hours a day for 4 days. It's pretty easy.
Nice.
I can work on stuff while I'm there, like booking and.
Oh, flyers. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean you're doing.
They won't listen to this, right?
Oh, they don't know you do comedy.
Oh, they know comedy. They don't know I work on stuff.
Yeah, no, we're this podcast is very popular.
We're streaming live, actually, right to your office.
To the Century 21 building.
Funny, I used to work for Century 21 Home Improvements.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do there?
Well, I worked as a telephone representative for the person who would high-pressurely come to your house and sell you their home improvements.
Ah.
High-pressurely?
High-pressurely.
I don't know. But
which is also an awkward weather phenomenon.
But that's fun that you get to work with your
You got
to
hold that mic like
I
that.
I know. I'm trying. I need a mic stand, I think. It's official. But I was going to say the idea that you get to, like, where you love computers, too. So, right?
I wouldn't say I love them, but, you know. I know them. Yeah. I feel like I was just saying this the other day to my mom. I was just like, I'm going to start being a better person just in case hell is helping older people with computers for all of eternity. It's just like a nightmare sometimes.
What do you? You said you're trying to be a better person. Like, are you like? Have you been a dick or something?
No, I was just making a joke.
General.
I thought you were opening up
to,
for a second.
No, and just instead of like going to hell, I got it. I'm on your wavelength.
I get it too. I was trying to.
Everyone gets it. It's all good.
See, what's funny on our podcast, we very often get into like my mind mode of like, let's talk positive quantum physics. It's like we're half funny and then we're half scientific.
Okay.
Well, we should just be scientifically funny. That's what we should call our.
I'm not going to pay for a new domain name.
Quantum funny.
It's what's for dinner.
Quantum funny.
Quantum funny?
Quantum comedy.
Quantum comedy.
How about quamity?
Oh, Jesus.
You're not
going to
believe
Lord.
This. I actually have, I own the domain quamity.
Do you really?
Yes, because I was going to do I was thinking of different names. It's so weird that you just said that. It's, it has nothing to do with quantum. It has to do with quality comedy.
Oh,
and I was trying
quality.
To like think of a fun, like something that was short and sweet and just something that would be like only headliner type of show, you know? So I was just like, quamity. I think I actually bought it through GoDaddy because it was like $10, but I don't.
So if I look up quamity.com right now.
On the Whois, it'll say Brian Monarch, but it won't. I don't think I made a site or anything like
that.
I
gotcha.
Yeah. But I do own the domain.
That's so random and awesome.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want it, we'll just transfer it to you guys because I don't think I'm ever going to use that.
Quamity. And it'd be quantum comedy.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, my God. How random.
And it's a short and sweet domain name.
It is. It is.
And what is it? It would just be Quamedy?
It might have been Quo. I don't remember which
Quomedy?
One it was. Comedy? Like, well, comedy is an O, so I might have just kept with that theme. You know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll take a look. I'm going to see if I still own it.
Have
while
you been
talking?
Is that like a wallet holder for your?
It's called the Book. It holds the iPhone and like your credit cards. And
I
stuff.
Love it. Look at it. It looks like a real little book.
Yeah.
I see that.
That's what they.
Those listening can't, but it, yes, it looks like a little book holding his iPhone and credit cards and
It's one less thing I have to carry around. I used to carry around a wallet, which was huge.
And no, that's convenient, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I'm like, I have my three things when I leave. I got to make sure I got my wallet, I got my phone, I got my keys.
That's what I had, too. Now I have two. You should get a book.
Tina, you have money in there and everything, too?
You can. You know, to be honest, if you put more than six credit cards and, like, three bills, it won't close all the way. Mm. Like, if you could narrow your stuff down to about that, it's good.
Yeah. I got too much shit in my wallet.
Yeah.
Q-U-A, you're right. It was Q-U-A. I do own it. Q-U-A-M-E-D-Y.com.
I was going to say, because that would sound like quality. Like, we would read it and read it as the word quality.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But I might have picked O because of comedy.
That's what I was thinking, nope, but I didn't.
But it would look like quomedy. Try to spell it. It looks Q-U-O-M-E-D-Y. Quomedy.
It would look weird. Agree to disagree, honey.
Now, if you were to do Q-U-A-O-M-E-D-Y. Okay. O-M-E-D-Y. Okay. Debating
now
over quantum.
Because Allison's been telling me, like, recently you and her have been talking kind of about the quantum physics.
Yeah, I actually watched the Netflix movie you told me to watch.
Oh, what you did watched you What think? The Bleep Do
With
We Know?
With all my free time.
The annoying part is the drama.
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of watching and taking it in. I don't know. I'm one of those people that just, I kind of need facts, you know, and like a lot of this stuff seems almost like hope or opinion or I don't know.
The first time watching it, especially Verge, and to those listening, we're talking about the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
That's what I watched. Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying, I thought you were changing the subject to a different movie. And continue, please.
And it's available on Netflix, but we have what's called the Quantum Edition.
She told me about that.
Which is 100 times better.
It is. And I'm like you. I'm a very logical kind of person.
Yeah.
And yeah, the first time watching, I remember my friend showed it. I'm the one who showed it to Allison, because the first time my friend showed it to me, I was like, this is kind of stupid, blah, blah, blah. You watch it a couple more times, and then with this Quantum Edition, it basically, you could choose to watch it without any of the dramatic scenes.
Right.
All just doctors and scientists and philosophers, quantum theorists, quantum physicists, really talking about how it is real.
Mm-hmm.
And the validity of it and the truthfulness of it. And then we watch it with subtitles on, which can be annoying to some people, but I found it a lot easier because you're hearing these guys talk about these amazing things, and then you're reading it as it's going along, so you're kind of taking it in both visually and audibly.
Audibly.
Yeah.
And it really it made me look at it in a completely different way, and it made sense. It really did make sense. So I think if you get a chance to... We'll let you borrow it, too.
Okay.
And watch it on the most, it's level 9, right?
Well, level 9 is going to, basically, they have different levels. It's called the, how far down the rabbit hole you want to go. 0 through 9, and if you want to have a lot of interviews about certain topics, you go to 9, which will give you everything they've done. If you want to do a little bit of, interviews per each topic, then, 1, 2, 3, however much you want to kind of go, however deep you want to go.
It's like the little kid on the basketball court.
You saw the little kid on the basketball
court.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, how far down rabbit hole you want to go? How do you know this shit? I'm sorry.
For those of you guys, suck.
We're terrible people.
It's Marley Matlin, who is a brilliant actress, but she's deaf, and this kid.
She talks in the movie. She talks the whole time.
And this kid explains this thing about quantum physics, and she says, "How do you know this shit?" But because she's deaf, she comes out, "How do you know this shit?"
And it's terrible.
And when you're high and you're watching it, it's hilarious.
It's a pretty good impression, though.
I started doing impressions. That's how I started out.
Okay.
You want to hear my impression of David Letterman?
Yes.
How do you know this shit? They all sound like Marley Matlin, unfortunately.
You do Marley Matlin doing other people.
Yeah. Okay, Paul Schaefer, who necked on the toe?
That's my God.
Marley Matlin doing David Letterman.
Could you please make that somebody's act needs to be Marley Matlin's impression of everybody.
Just on top 10 list.
Did you see the Family Guy where they tease her?
I think I've seen every Family Guy. But
it's the one where, like, Marley Matlin calling up movie phone, and she goes, "The last Mimsy."
Yes.
They're like, "You want to see 300? Is that right? No. Please repeat what you want to see. The last Mimsy. You want to see Bridget Jones' Diary?"
I did see that one.
Oh, fucking hilarious.
I love Family Guy.
Hilarious.
It's very funny. We're also very sick people.
Yeah, yeah. But the quantum thing, I mean, it's definitely a lot, because it's basically like trusting in everything you can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that. That's why it's hard to,
Well, it's hard, it's, it's It's because, and I don't want to get too far into this because we're going to start getting really.
We'll get far into it. We're not on this because everybody has already heard what we talk about.
Yeah. Almost
it
every
this.
Time Allison and I do this together, it somehow veers into this
because we're passionate about
it. Yeah, so. I brought it up. I'm aware of this only because I know you've been. You guys have had
it.
That little connection about it lately.
Yeah, I'm trying. I like bringing the quantum
but
world
to everybody.
Let me
just ask you this: so since your little pep talk with Allison, who is Queen Positivity. And you're watching
pure clean positivity right there.
Pure clean positivity. Have you been trying to be a little more positive, or have you noticed like better things? I mean, aside from what you told us before we came on the air about your traffic thing.
Yeah, I thought I'd win. I thought I'd win, but it still didn't happen.
It was part of your evolution, then. I don't know.
No, I totally get it. It is good to look at things positively. It's good to in your mind. See the success and believe it's going to happen. And I have been trying to do that with certain situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been in 2 weeks, you know, it hasn't happened. I mean, but things are, you know,
well, sometimes
things
are little
good
things.
And they're moving forward.
Yeah. Or just keep, you know, and not to mention, even if it doesn't happen, it's good to look on the positive side of things or you're going to be depressed. So
exactly.
There's multiple reasons to do it. Yeah. So I have been trying, you know, sometimes you feel cynical when bad things are happening to you and it's hard, but the second I've been feeling those feelings, I stop myself and I go, no, this is going to be good. And,
yay.
You know, so yeah, I have been doing that.
That's
oh,
good.
I love it. That's something I find there's been a lot of times recently. I feel like there's something in the air where a lot of people have been experiencing negative somethings, like in one way or another, a lot of people I've been talking to have. And I think that no matter what, when those things happen, you need to just find the way in your brain to sort of twist it into a way that you can look at it positively. Like, you stub your toe in the morning and it fucking sucks and the whole day could be ruined based on that. Or you could look at it and go, the worst is out of the way at least. And now everything's going to better. Flip, did you just put on some sort of music because it just blasted my eardrums out? Remember, baby, you got to let me know when those things happen. I don't know why, guys. There's like some weird hookup.
Sorry.
I canceled my podcast a while back. I should bring you my headphones. I have an extra pair if you want them.
I don't think it's the headphones.
Oh.
I don't think it's the headphones. I can't
it's
hear
not
don't
anybody.
Worry, be happy.
Exactly.
When I took Psychology 101, we had this lady, and she would play this every day, and we had to sing it before class started.
Oh, so this must be awful for you. I'm sorry.
No, I don't mind. It was years ago. Some people hated it.
Is that really?
I can't hear you guys at all unless the music's off.
The music's off.
Yeah, we got to figure out what's going on with my head, like with the whole system.
It's not.
In my headphones.
We'll figure it out. I thought it was fixed.
Next time, please, baby, I love you. Just give me like a thumbs up that you're about to do something, so I could remove the headphones.
For dinner, what's for dinner? What's
I just.
I didn't know that was coming.
Good morning.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god, I feel like this is like a cartoon.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're good.
We're in a live cartoon, everybody.
Yes.
That's what life is.
We're very professional here, by the way, Brian.
I see it.
Yeah, we got producer and DJ,
engineer and
host, DJ,
all
editor,
the same fucking thing.
Flip
sorry.
Schultz. Can you turn up my volume a little bit more though, because I can't hear you guys now. There, now, perfect.
Okay,
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, so
so yay.
Change
so
of pace.
About
change
that. Yeah.
So you grew up in L.A.
Yes.
Whee.
Whereas in L.A. proper or outskirts?
Valley.
Have you never lived anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in Burbank, Northridge, Granada Hills, but always in the 818. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And you went to school
Represent.
Out here, too?
Yeah.
What'd you study?
Cal State Northridge, psychology.
Oh, that was your major.
You studied psychology?
I did.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in psychology.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, well, that's basically quantum physics has a lot to do with that. I just totally slurred that. I'm like, quantum physics is totally engulfed in that.
So then let me ask you this. So what year did you graduate? Yeah, I did or two. What year did you graduate college?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I graduated high school in 89, and then I went to college for a long time. I was working full-time the entire time, went part-time to college. It was like 10 years. Like, it was just like a slow process.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah, because I wanted to work full time, so
okay.
But I got it done.
Yeah,
nice.
Took a while. But.
So, okay, so you majored in psychology. So let's say you graduated around 98, 99.
Yeah.
So your first time doing stand up at the Laugh Factory was right after graduating from college.
Yeah, it was right around that time.
That's That's so awesome.
So what, as a psychology major, pushed you toward wanted to try comedy?
What didn't?
No.
The psychology of people?
I don't know if the two are related at all. I really, you know, I've always, you know, I always watched Eddie Murphy, and Andrew Dice Clay was big to me when I was in, you know, my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to do it. It was, I don't think it had anything to do with my education path or anything like that. I just always wanted to do it. And then I went to these open mics, and I don't know, when you haven't done it and you see people that you know you can do it better than, it inspires you to try it. So,
In college, though, did you do any kind of theater program or anything, or was it strictly out of college?
I was so bad in front of people. Like, just, I did drama 101 and was, you know, it wasn't good. And then I remember they were doing play production tryouts, and I was like, I'm going to try out for play production. And they're like, okay, you need to recite a monologue by memory, and you have to sing a song. That's your audition. So I remember I got this book, and I just picked out a paragraph to read, and I tried to memorize it, failed, couldn't memorize it, sang Gilligan's Island as my song.
That's awesome.
Wait, the full version or the TV version?
The TV version. Is there a full version of the
TV? Yeah. There's like an extra verse to it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is he messing with me?
Wait, what did you say? He did what?
He's saying there's another verse to the Gilligan's Island.
Wait, oh yeah, it is a longer song, I know that. They did chop it down to
hold on, honey, you might want to watch your headphones. I'm going to see if we have the Gilligan's Island in the arsenal. But I'm sorry, keep going. So you did monologue, you did Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, and I didn't get called on that. So that was it. I never really did any plays or anything like that. And honestly, you know, every stand-up comic I know, I mean, most of them at least, are trying to be actors, and it's never really been my thing. I've been, you know, I just like doing stand-up, so
yeah.
I started running shows.
So doing TV or film, that's not even in the...
I've thought about it more lately, actually. You know, maybe getting an agent and going on a few auditions here and there, but it's never really been something that I really got into. And the reason I want to maybe get an agent or a manager is because I always see people like, anytime there's like a last comic standing or anything, those people get in because they have somebody representing them. And it's just like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier.
It's definitely easier.
Yeah.
Like I was on season 4 and I made it into the top 40 without any representation, really.
Really? You were just outside in line and you got picked?
Let me rephrase that. I had a manager at the time, and I was in Miami when I auditioned. She got me in to not wait in line.
Right. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody that's waiting in line on the streets get through to that. That would be
right.
Because I always hear that it's impossible. I hear like that's
a
all
lot
BS.
Tougher. Yeah.
It
helped me, you know, definitely up my profile, but it's all said and done. It is definitely a political. They're casting a show.
Right.
And yeah, it helps when you have the right people behind you. Watch your ears, honey. I did have the Gilligan's Island theme. I'm going to just see if this is the full version here. To everybody, this is Gilligan's Island.
Uncut.
Unleashed.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a
sing
tale,
along if you know it.
Tale of a fateful trip that started on this tropic fort aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty
sailor. This is all familiar so far.
Skipper, brave and sure. My passenger set sail that day on a 3-hour tour.
A what?
A 3-hour tour.
Then what happened?
Oh. Weather started getting rough. You know, Mary Ann lives right down the street from you guys.
Don Wells?
I don't know her real name, but
that's
yeah.
Mary. Yeah, that's Mary Ann.
Oh,
shit.
The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle. With Gilligan, the skipper too. A millionaire and his wife. A movie star. Professor and Mary Ann.
Second. There's more.
Yeah.
So this is the tale of our castaways. They're here for a long, long time. They'll have to make the best of things. It's an uphill climb. But first mate and his skipper too will do their very best.
You know, I have heard this.
Have you?
I don't know where.
In the tropic island nest.
No phone.
No light.
Yes, I've heard this. I wonder if they played it on the Gilligan's Island movie.
Like Robinson Crusoe, it's primitive.
Or maybe this is the outro to the show.
Because
I've heard this a lot.
Really?
Maybe it's the outro.
Here on Gilligan's Island.
I think the outro was a repeat of it.
Huh, because I've definitely heard that multiple times. It was like I could have kind of sang along. I wonder if one of the seasons they played it. I don't know, because I've definitely heard that.
I don't.
They were like, you know what they need more of out there? They need more verses to
Gilligan's
Island.
We need more Gilligan. Listen, these kids, they love the Gilligan. We got to give them more Gilligan.
I realized, too, that one of those verses Weird Al did in Amish Paradise. I never realized that was actually from Gilligan's Island.
What? What was the line?
No phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury like Robinson Crusoe. It's as primitive as can be. Weird Al used that entire verse in Amish Paradise.
Wow.
I learned something today. I'm a huge Weird Al fan, so.
Yeah.
When I realize something new about Weird Al, I get excited.
Did you see we actually have Weird Al Picasso?
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's pretty cool.
Picasso.
We're a little out of our minds.
I like it.
Very out of our minds. So, okay, so you never did any drama or anything, and so you said now you think you want to do a little more TV and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I would totally go for that. I mean, just for the comedy career.
Have you taken any classes?
No, just drama 101.
Should go to Groundlings or something like that. Or
maybe.
Groundlings, I had so much fun. I actually want to go back. I only did the basic intro to improv, but I feel that it made anything that I do as comedy now better. For doing that.
I was just across the street from that place 2 days ago at the Scientology building.
What were you at the Scientology building?
Doing a show.
At the Scientology
building? Yes.
The fuck?
Yeah.
What did they... Wait,
is this a book show or do you produce it?
A friend of mine just ran a little show in one of the smaller rooms there.
Really?
For those people?
For those people.
For those people, honey.
For those people.
Really, those people? They prefer...
Did they give them the Kool-Aid?
They're African-American.
Did they give them the Kool-Aid? Are they still with us?
Wait, so you did... So it was an all Scientology audience?
I think so, because they didn't get a kick out of my intro where I said that the building reminded me of the Snow White ride at Disneyland. That didn't get a laugh. And then I started saying, like... It's kind of weird how there's security everywhere. It's almost like Secret Service. And I felt like when I walked in, they were like, a Jew. We got a Jew. Yes, definitely a Jew. Like, I saw his nose. It's a Jew. And, like, nobody was, like, even thought it was remotely humorous. And from that point on, it was an uphill battle.
Really?
See, that's why I say, like, there's something, I don't know. Like, I'm fine with anybody having their religious beliefs and whatever gives them goodness and put forward towards other people. That's just fine with me. But... There is something entirely creepy about them. A friend of mine, not a person who I don't, I mean, I'm just taking his word for it, but there's a sweet little English friend of mine who is so like sweet and like a debonair, like English gentleman that I could never see him lying or putting on. He said that when he just got to LA, he was approached by one of those people that like try to recruit you to be a Scientologist and asked him if he would come for one of their like little, I don't know, presentations or something like that. And he went in and it was something about like 1 p.m. and he went in and he said he felt like he was there for about 15, 20 minutes, but he came out and the sun had gone down. He was there for hours.
Wow.
And yet thought that he was only there for like a short period of time, which makes me think like, I wonder if in the presentation they would show something that possibly would like hypnotize you to a certain degree and like, put that part of your brain that is processing what time it is like out, like you're just zombified. I don't know.
Just gas the room. One of the two.
One of the two. Fucking
just
scary,
like a
dude.
Jew to go to the gas room.
No,
just
but
like a Jew.
I mean, that's fucking creepy, right? Like, who does that?
Yeah, and then so the person that ran the show, she also runs another show, and there was this girl who lives.
Is she a Scientologist?
Yeah, and. She has this girl who runs the belly room door for her, and she's blonde. So I hit her up. I go, I'm running a Brea show next week. So I'm like, what's the blonde girl's name who runs the door for you? She accidentally thinks, or she misunderstood what I wanted. She sent me the lady that was running the door at the Scientology place. So I text her. I get the number, and I text her. And the girl who I was looking for is an ex-stripper, now mom. So I text her, hi, this is Bro. I go, hi. And she goes, who is this? And I go, you gave me a lap dance about a while back. So I'm playing this practical joke on who I thought was a comedian ex-stripper.
Yeah.
It was the lady who worked at the Scientology building.
Oh, my God.
And she was very against texting, I could tell from the beginning. She calls me immediately, and then she's like, can we not text? Can we talk later? I'm like, well, I need help with the Spraya show. And she's like, okay, I can help you. And I'm like, okay. So then I continue thinking it's the same girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, I thought you called me to learn about Scientology. And I was like, no, I was calling you because I thought you were a blonde ex-stripper comedian that lived in Orange County. And she's like, did you have any questions? I'm, no, no. Like, even when I was, I made it very clear it was a mistake. And she was trying, it seemed like she was trying to recruit me over the phone.
See, this is what I have a problem with. You have a faith. I have a faith. We all have our faith.
What's your faith?
Why do, I'm a believer in me.
Oh.
I'm a
Church like of
be,
Allison.
Would you like to be a believer in Allison?
No, I
sit
mean,
sit down.
Like,
we have a presentation.
How many people are in the congregation?
All the voices in my head. But no, seriously, it's not. I don't want to make it seem like that. I believe that we are all connected, and I believe that we're all energy, and I believe that me is not really me, but a me is a reflection of everything around. That sounds like it's like an egocentric thing, but no, I mean that I am nobody. Like, I am literally nobody, and I'm amidst everybody else, but we're all together. We are all God.
I am me, as you are me, as you are we, and we are all together.
That's what I believe in the Church of Kajagugu. No, wait, wait, wait. No, 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 that's I am the walrus.
Gugugachu?
No,
I'm Kukukichu. Did you believe in this?
The Church of Kajagugu.
Too shy. Did you believe in this before you saw that movie?
Don't be too shy, shy. Hush, hush. I do I.
You know what? I've kind of always been. I went through stages when I was really young. I was an atheist because I just thought, well, nothing makes sense. And then I went, no. I'm not really an atheist. I'm agnostic because I don't necessarily believe to choose in one faith. But I don't. I'm just going to ask the question and not really like, you know, try to find the answer. And as I got older, I'm like totally a quantum physicist. That's why I think my religion would be like I have a baby. I don't know how. I know.
Just keep
I'm
holding
supposed
it.
To,
yeah, there you go.
No, but my grip, it hurts. I can't keep gripping for an hour. I know. That's why I'm having trouble gripping it for an hour. No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Thank you.
But so the idea that I believe in you and me.
Are you religious at all, Brian?
No.
So complete atheist?
No, I would say I'm more agnostic. I don't.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not one of those people that thinks you definitely die and then the worms come and you. That's it. You don't see anything ever. You know, I kind of just look at it like I have no clue. I don't think anyone else does either, mm-hmm. even though they think they do. And we'll find out someday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of what it's funny. In the quantum physicists, they talk about that once they think they know, they really don't know anything. And it's sort of like, it's a wonderful thing to see that people just go, you know what, I don't know, and it's okay. It's okay that I don't know. We're excited to be learning that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm at. But my whole thing is that if you have a faith and you're trying to push it on me in any facet, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Christian, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Mormon, we had Mormons knock on the door the other damn day, and they knocked on my neighbor's door, and they literally wanted to talk to every person that was at the place. If we weren't like, if we hadn't opened our mouths and said no to them, they were like, well, what about you over there? And I literally said to him, I went, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe in the universe, so I'm not interested. I believe in me. And I, like, told them everything that they didn't want to hear. And I don't know. That's why Scientologists, I think, are the absolute creepiest, is because not only are they trying to just say, hey, we want to, like, show you what we're doing, they'll go to, like, extreme lengths to get you in there to do it. It's not like the Mormon church where just, like, some nice little boys will come to the door and try to, like, just give you a pamphlet or a Jehovah's Witness.
Well, I was curious, when you were at the Scientology, because that's, you know, you're right, Scientologists can be very pushy. I was going to ask, when you were doing the show, did anybody even approach you at that point to say, hey, can we talk to you now about the...
No. I kind of took off immediately, though. And she actually said, you took off right after the show. We wanted to... You know, she made it seem like they wanted to hit you up, but nothing happened. I just kind of like bolted after I bombed in front of 38 Scientologists.
Oh, my goodness.
How much time did you have to do?
I did like 10 minutes. And I was trying not to be dirty, which a lot of my stuff is at this point, and I'm actually right now trying to steer away from that a little bit.
Me too.
I attempted some new stuff, and it just wasn't, you know, flying.
Did they give you any guidelines before you started, like,
no,
don't be dirty?
The one who was running the show was basically saying, you know, if there's kids there, be clean. If not, don't worry about it too much. And there wasn't, so... But I still decided, you know what, I decided I was going to try to be clean tonight. I'm going to stick with that. And
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have opened up with the Scientology jokes.
Oh, man. You lost them. You lost them on their making fun of the castle.
See, I think that's one good thing about Jews. We got a good sense of humor. You can, like, I've done a lot of, like, shows at synagogues and temples. And they don't, you know, if you give a little light ribbing, Jews can take it. I mean, we've taken a lot worse over the years. But, yeah, it's not. It's almost not surprising that Scientologists would have a stick up their ass about a little light ribbing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them give out, like, the, asking if you want to have a stress test?
Yeah.
They actually, and for people who don't live in California, on the streets that you walk around, tourist areas, they will physically put cards in your hands asking you if you're, and this is the trick, they ask you if you're stressed out. And who isn't stressed out? I mean, of course, and the way that things work nowadays, everybody's stressed out. And that's kind of like the hook. They're not asking you, do you believe in Jesus or do you believe in that? They're like, are you stressed out? Do you want to learn how to, like, not be stressed out? Totally come to talk to us. And I remember upon talking to one of these people, they literally had the creepy culty feel right out the gate, because when I would say, oh, I'll just take it and I'll come back, you know, like somebody's trying to sell you something at a store. Oh, we'll look around. We'll come back. You know, that's exactly what I said. And they're like, well, no, we could talk about it right now. Uh-huh. And they literally, like, chased me down the street, like, no, don't go. It was creepy. So beware. And if anybody's a Scientologist out there, I don't hate on you. Just don't try to force me to be you.
Don't you?
I feel like all these religions, they, you know, I mean, they think that they have a better chance of getting into heaven if they convert more people, I feel like. That's like the...
It's quantity, not quality.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be nice to just say, hey, everybody, be positive. The end.
Yeah, it would.
Not profitable. I actually think that would be a great horror movie. Just like instead of Night of the Living Dead and zombies, just Night of the Living Scientologists. Just like, can we talk to you? Do you need a stress test? How are your... What were those Fenons? Your Fenon level?
Oh, I don't know.
I only know about midichlorians.
Nice. Well played.
And he plays the Star Wars card. I like it.
Speaking of movies, what do you think about this Ben Affleck thing?
Oh, Jesus.
I think we should call it The Dark Knot.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, I feel like I'm less annoyed about that than they're even putting a Batman in a Superman movie. That's annoying me more than the whole Ben Affleck thing.
It's for the Super...
It's for Man of Steel 2.
Ben Affleck has been cast as a new Batman.
In the Superman movie.
Yeah, the sequel to Man of Steel is a Batman versus Superman plot line, and Ben Affleck has been cast as Batman against Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're. It's not verse really. I think they're going to work together, aren't they? I don't know.
I'm sure that's going to be a verse.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, what is Batman going to do to Superman? Kryptonite?
Why are they going to fight each other?
Probably.
Yeah.
Something.
I thought they're both fighting for good.
I just don't like the whole idea. It's hard to. Like, when you watch the Super Friends and there's, like, 20 superheroes together, it's like, okay, it's a cartoon. But, like, they all have their own worlds in these movies, and it's just weird to combine two major worlds like that.
But
it's
strange.
Yeah,
I don't think this Batman is going to be associated with a Christopher Nolan Batman.
Right.
I think it's almost the way that, you know, Christopher Nolan wasn't associated with Joel Schumacher, wasn't associated with Michael, you know, with the
Tim Burton,
thank you, who wasn't associated with Adam West.
The worst part is I'm going to go see it.
I think most comic book guys are, but Ben Affleck has a lot to prove because he is coming. He's a great actor, but I think the thing about casting like Christian Bale as the Christopher Nolan Batman and Henry Cavill as the new Superman is just that they weren't very known actors at the time.
Uh huh.
So it's like
Christian Bale
really didn't have a lot. Like, he didn't have a high-profile role. He had maybe American Psycho and The Machinist. But aside from that, I don't think he had any... You really didn't know him. Had you ever heard of Christian Bale?
Absolutely.
But could you have named anything that he did before Batman?
The two you just named.
Name me one more.
He was in... Oh, my God. Hold on a second. We just watched that. He was in Hunchback of Notre Dame. The Disney one.
Did you know that before you looked at IMDb? That was him?
You told it to me.
Okay. Yeah. My point.
I don't know. Okay, whatever.
Did you ever hear of Henry Cavill before?
No, definitely not.
And he was on Game of Thrones? Not Game of Thrones. The Tudors.
Tudors?
I think.
I don't know. I don't.
Whatever the case, the fact that they're bringing such a high-profile actor as the new Batman.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's risky. And it's Ben Affleck, who's done so many big things in the past that you can't help but compare that to him coming into Batman.
Yeah.
And not that he's not a great actor, but it's just he's also Daredevil and Geely and Good Will Hunting and
Chasing Amy.
Mallrats.
Dazed and Confused. Don't forget that one.
So it's just so many things that you've seen him in already that it might be hard to suspend your disbelief to see him as Batman.
Yeah. It's weird when they bring in somebody that's big, like George Clooney.
Oh, that was so gross.
Or Jim Carrey as the Riddler, or whatever they're doing. So
yeah, but I think when Jim Carrey became the Riddler, he was still on he was still on the rise.
Right.
You know, I mean, we knew him from Living Color, Ace Ventura.
I thought at the time, though, it was the most perfect casting for him. I mean, there couldn't have been anybody better at that time to play the Riddler.
In that version of it. I think if it was a Christopher Nolan darker version, it wouldn't have been as wacky.
No.
But, but Jim Carrey at the time, he was still like this new guy. And like you said, it was a perfect role for him. You're like, of course Jim Carrey's going to be the Riddler. So, again, for Ben Affleck, it's like I said, I think it's just, it's going to be hard for a lot of people to accept it because of all the shit he's already done.
I have a hard enough time accepting whoever plays Lois Lane. It's not Margot Kidder anymore. Like, it, just changing somebody as the part, it just always kind of...
Well, see, I thought Amy Adams did a really good job, but this Man of Steel was more of a reboot.
Right.
Superman Returns.
That was terrible.
Off.
Because they tried to make it seem like it was a sequel.
Yeah, and you can't.
Yeah, you can't. I was like, these are not the same people.
They're not.
You know, they got... Brandon Routh, I appreciated. That was the only part of that movie I appreciated because he reminded me of Christopher Reeve, and I don't think they could have found someone more similar to him.
Everybody says that. I didn't see it.
Really? His voice was very similar. He was kind of like, you know, a goody-two-shoes Boy Scout type, and it just... I don't know. It reminded me more of Christopher Reeve than this new guy does, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was a late bloomer, and I hadn't seen Superman up until very recently. Actually, Flippin' showed it to me.
Superman 1 was great.
Superman 1 was good.
We watched 1 and 2. I don't know. Maybe it's because it was the classic, so everybody like looks at her as being the classic Lois Lane, but I hated Margot Kidder's portrayal.
I've heard that from other people.
I mean, like, and I don't even know.
Have it.
I don't even know any other Lois Lanes from literally any other Superman. I'm not a follower. I didn't know it. But just in who I would want Lois Lane to be, she played it in such like this aloof and angry kind of strange way. I don't know. I didn't like her.
But if you were a kid and you saw it for the first time and you didn't know anything else,
then you wouldn't know. But that's why I think 30. You know?
And I feel like she's supposed to be like that. She's in the big city. She's one of the top reporters. She's got to be kind of, you know, gritty and tough and take no BS.
But I feel like the way that Margot Kidder herself played it, like not what they wanted to give her, like Lois Lane as the personality, but the way she played it, there was something that was like, I don't know. It like didn't gel.
The one thing that hits me when I watch it now is like, I do kind of think to myself, like, why would Superman want to be with her?
Like, yeah, dude.
At the time, though, she was attractive.
It's not even a matter of attraction as much as she's not sweet at all. There's no sweetness to her.
That's why I say, like, it's just, it's not the person that you would want her to.
Right.
But Lois, I think Lois Lane has always had to have been played that way. Like you said, a no-nonsense, tough-as-nails kind of character. Yeah. So maybe the idea is Superman saw beyond that and saw the sweetness in her.
Maybe.
And brought it out of her.
Well, since he's a Man of Steel, he needed a girl tough-as-nails. Terrible.
By the way, did you notice in Man of Steel that slight little tribute to Christopher Reeve?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, you didn't hear about it? Like, I read about this before I saw the movie, and right when it happened, I noticed it right away. What? To those of you listening, you haven't seen Man of Steel yet, I don't want to spoil it, so you can fast forward probably about 20 seconds or so. I'll tell you when. I'm going to start it now. You know at the end of the movie when Superman, when that big machine is like pound, and he's underneath and he's fighting back up?
Right.
And you see his face like amongst the glow of everything?
Uh-huh.
They superimposed Christopher Reeve's face on him.
Oh, I got to check
just
that out.
Just for a couple of frames, but I saw that and I literally started to cry.
Huh.
Because it was such a wonderful trip.
Oh, I got to show you a video that I made.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, not right now, but it was really big. Like, remember that Five for Fighting song came out called Superman?
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I heard that song, I would hear, I would picture things from the first couple movies, maybe even the third one a little bit. And I took that song and I took all the video clips that reminded me of the movie.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, from the verses, and I put it together.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called Project S.
Project S.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I like it. Actually, I always call him Superman. I got him for our wedding day. I got him that's our anniversary present. For our wedding day, I got him like what looks like a comic strip, like a Superman comic strip as the wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got him a little Superman watch.
Oh, cool.
But it's like a classy watch for those of you listening. It looks like a regular man's watch.
If you're listening,
it's got a blue rubber band. It's got a little red.
It actually has underwear over it.
And I use it to fist Lois Lane. What?
Nice.
Speaking of fisting,
nice
how's
segue.
That for a segue?
Nice segue.
It is time for a little part of the show, Brian, called The Skippy Green Show.
Oh.
It's The Skippy Green Show.
Brian Monarch. How are you?
Good.
Skippy. Were you
doing Me to Me?
I think so.
Don't do that ever again.
I think, you know what, this is like twice in a row. I think everybody has an affinity to do You to You, Skippy, though.
Have you ever done Me to Me?
Oh, have I ever done You? Do you ever? Wait. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we have another guest. No.
Forget I asked.
Hey, Slappy here. I'm your sister.
Forget
Slappy
I
Green.
Asked. All right, Brian. Mr. Yes. Monarch. Mr. Jew. Here's how we play the game. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to answer the question in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9, 10 words. And the queen of the fingers over here will count down for you. Are you ready?
Is that where fisting comes in?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Let's do it. What's the question?
If you... could fist any actress who'd ever played Lois Lane, who would it be and why?
Margot Kidder, because she seems like she would like it.
Nice.
Perfect.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
That was perfect, man.
Oh, okay. Skippy, you left so soon.
Skippy comes very fast.
He
goes very fast.
It is true.
Thanks so much for coming over to do this, man.
Yeah, man, anytime.
Skippy came again.
See, I told you he was going to come back.
He's a quick cover. Where can people find you, man?
The Scientology building down in Hollywood.
Nice.
No, I'm at the Comedy Store every Friday in the Belly Room at 8 right now. BrianMonarch.com.
BrianMonarch. There you go.
And if you ever want to go to a show and not have to pay the cover charge, go to FreeComedyShows.com. I got a cool
excellent.
Site there, yeah.
Sweet. Excellent. It's a great site, man.
Yeah.
Allison? As always.
DirtyGuitarGirl.com or at Allison Comedy for all the fun shite. And what's going on? Nothing much. Go buy Epic. Yay!
Yeah. And guys, I'm not going to even give you my spiel. You should know it by now. But just in case, FlipIsFunny.com at Flip Schultz on Twitter. Go to my website for all the tour dates. I think by the time this comes on, I'll just be finishing my Midwest run and I'm about to do a military tour. So if any of our brave, wonderful military folk in the areas of Greenland, Honduras, the Bahamas, or Gitmo are listening.
Because there are so many of them listening.
There I will be
Greenland
coming to you.
Over a ham radio, just shivering.
They have the internet, honey.
Shivering. Flip, I gotta listen to What's for Dinner.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing El Paso, Texas in October.
Oh, sweet.
Comic strip?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh,
great
Bart
club.
Green.
Tell Bart we said hi.
Yeah.
So good, yeah, if you're out in El Paso, when I know we've been there before, so we probably
so
have
we probably
some listeners
have some
from
listeners.
There.
Hey!
Yeah, go check out Brian Monarch. We're going to be, he'll be over there in October. And as always, guys, thanks so much for listening. And you can always check out the iTunes for fun CDs while you're already on iTunes listening to this podcast. You got my CDs, Skippy Green CDs, all for download.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's
so
for dinner?
So we will see you guys next week.
Thanks again, Brian. Thank you.
Talking about what's ever on their mind. Talking about what's ever on their mind.